Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In today's message, Pastors Ed and Lisa Young speak about life's relationships in a new series entitled Relationship Goals. In today's message, they unpack some of the powerful questions that guide toward discovering the most meaningful relationships God has planned for us. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called The Force of Relationships. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed and Lisa Young.
I'm beginning a series with my lovely wife, Lisa, called Relationship Goals. And it's amazing how popular relationship goals are. I, though, am very nervous, Lisa, about this series because the stakes are sky high for every single person here. Let's face it, life is all about relationships, and our great God is a relational God. We're made in His image. Thus, He wants us to relate and for our relationships to cruise, to soar, not just remain stagnant or in some sort of a situation that's negative.
That's right. And many of us have started this year with goals. But what studies have shown is that all of these things that we have goals over are hinging or contingent upon one very important thing, and that's our relationships. So instead of thinking about your diet, your exercise, yes, that's good to think about it, but what if we focus more on the people who are surrounding us and the success that we will find in these different areas of life just based on relationships? So when Ed says, wow, I feel somewhat scared to talk about this, I feel like the burden is heavy. Yeah, it's heavy because the stakes are sky high. Every single person that's in this room or at one of our different environments, you have such potential in your life, but so often that potential is catastrophically defeated just by the people you're hanging around with. And too often, we look around it and we say, wow, look what is surrounding me. Look what is surrounding me rather than look who is surrounding me.
Listen, let's jump in, because when I think about relationships or relationship, I think about the word ship, relationship. So all of us, when we're born, we literally step on a ship, a relationship. Life is about relationships, and our great God did something. He fixed the relationship that was warped because of our sinfulness, because of our behavior. So He's given us the opportunity to know Him through Christ, and not only to relate to Him through Christ, but also to relate to others. And that's where the ship comes in.
That's right. And so if you have relationships in your life that perhaps you need to steer away from, steer the ship away from, you know, we want us to make clear some of those attributes, some of the things that you need to be looking for in a relationship, mm-hmm. and some of the things that you see in your relationships that you need to steer away from.
And we've come up with a little thing that you can either, if you're taking notes old school, you can write this down, or if you're on your iPhone or whatever. It's basically, Lisa, three columns that I'm gonna challenge you, Lisa, I wanna challenge you to write your significant relationships down in these columns. The first column would be that relationship that you feel is sort of drifting.
It's drifting relationships.
Going nowhere.
You know, they go with the tide. They just kind of move.
Yeah.
They float here, there, yonder. And we all know that if you just float, you generally don't get to the destination where you need to be. And God has a destination for each and every life. We talk about that. We want to celebrate that. And yet, we don't necessarily grab hold to the responsibility of seeing that through. What's our part in it? Our part is about relationships in this assessment. So are you drifting in your relationship? What are some of the characteristics of people that cause us to drift and to sink? What are some of those relationships? Yeah, how do they look?
Well, honey, there are some things in certain types of people, and we've done life together for a long, long time. We've been at this church for 25 years, helped kick the church off. I feel more confidence today, or I could say Godfidence today, talking about this subject than ever before. I'm almost 55 years old, but that's the fact. I just feel there's an urgency, and I really just want everyone here to download this stuff from Scripture. So here's someone that I've seen in my life who can be a negative influence on me. The pridefully prideful person. We all know people like that. The pridefully prideful person. They're always talking about where I've been, where I'm going, what I got, who I know. And they're talking about this, they're talking about that. It's just a bragathon. And you sit there and they talk on and on and on and on about themselves. Now and then, they might ask you, hey, how are you doing? But they're only asking you how are you doing so they can talk for about 30 minutes straight about themselves. Me, 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 my, I. What do you say about that, Lisa? And we all, you want to have self-confidence, confidence from God. I'm not saying that, but you know, that person just is all about themselves. And
yeah, well, I mean, let's just say human nature, me is my favorite subject.
Yes.
I enjoy talking about me. But when you're in a relationship, there's a cadence of conversation that goes back and forth. And so there should be just as much interest in the we than
there's
the me.
There's a dance. There's a dance.
Oh, we are horrible dancers.
There's a dance.
Yeah,
there's a dance. There's a dance. There's a dance.
Speaking, yes, baby, but not dancing.
Right.
What about the know-it-all? The person who just knows everything.
The know-it-all. Oh, yeah.
You know, you've heard of Wikipedia? Well, it's Wikipedia.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They know everything.
Oh, I knew that. Oh,
be careful.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Or what about the negative person?
Now, this
is probably my biggest pet peeve in a relationship.
Lisa is the most you ever heard of this guy, Joel Osteen? I've known Joel for years. Hey, man, he smiles all the time. This is my Bible. Joel is positive. People say, Ed, you know Joel. Is he that positive? Yes, he's that positive. But I know somebody who's more positive.
My hot wife.
Hashtag hot wife. Lisa is the most encouraging person. Now, I can sometimes be negative. I can.
Yeah.
And Lisa helps me. You know, and then sometimes I can bring her back a little more to the real world. But that's
the
balance.
Those people that you're around.
I mean,
that
the cup for
down.
You, Lisa, is not just overflowing; it's spilling over on the table. We need a mop to get it up.
Okay, so I think that's biblical. But anyway, what it's like to hang around with somebody who's negative all the time. Or what about that person that manipulates? They're controlling.
Oh, yeah.
It's always their way or the highway. Somebody has to manipulate where you go, what you do, all of those different things. Those are qualities of a relationship that we need to steer away from.
So be very, very careful about that. Obviously, we have to accept people where they are. Obviously, we want to love everyone, but I would say this, and this is kind of a shocker, Lisa, but I'm going to say it. Most of us spend too much time with the wrong people who don't do much right rather than the right people who don't do much wrong.
That's good right there.
And I would say, this is going to be a radical statement. I'll just prepare you for it. But I have 33 years of marriage, parenting, pastoring, researching. I truly believe in the 90-10 principle. Ed, what in the heck are you talking about? 90-10 principle. Yeah, 90-10 principle. 90% of the time, we should invest relationally into people who are cruising. I mean, the sails are up, they're catching wind, they're tacking into the wind, and they are going somewhere. 10% of the time should be with those people, even Christians, or those people who don't really get it, who aren't really taking you anywhere. They're drifting, or they're causing you to take on water. But we have that reverse, most of us, because we're kind of just lazy, we kind of just float around. Yeah, so we end up spending 90% of the time with the wrong people and only 10% of the time with the right people. Now, people are like going, I don't know if I believe that. I'm not sure. That's so radical. I am here to tell you, I can give you the hard data to prove it.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting the Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
So we have to think about these relationships with some purpose in mind. How are we purposeful? How do we negotiate through the 90% versus the 10%? How do we do that?
Well, we have to step on the relationship and we have to put up different sails. Don't you like the nautical term sails? Five sails. Say five with me. Five sails. Five sails.
Five sails.
And we're going to run through these because it's critical that you understand these sails, because we're going to build everything on this platform that we're talking about.
Okay. Can I give the first one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Intentionality. Intentionality. That just means to go through your relationships with some type of intent. Again, you have to understand the magnitude, the responsibility of hanging out with the right people, of rubbing shoulders with the right people. I mean, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need to be sharpening one another. Intentionality. Look what it says in Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. His intent was, wait a minute, what was that? His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those three words, intent and the church and the purpose, are what we need to be seeking in our relationship. Where is the best place to be intentional about your relationships? The church, the body of Christ, because that's where the common denominator of purpose is found.
God can't wink at sin. He can't look at sin. He did something about it. He sent Jesus, who took the step. So we've got to be intentional, obviously, about our relationship with Christ, but also with our friendships. You don't just drift into it. The second one, the second sail, truth. Any relationship, Lisa, that's worth its salt, nautical term again, should be a relationship built on truth. I spend a lot of time in boats in my spare time, and I have cruised around in little boats going over 50 miles an hour through the Everglades numerous times. Now, that's a little scary. Everglades, 50 miles an hour, 16-foot boat. On one side of the boat, the water is 6 inches deep. On the other, it's about a foot deep. I have some good friends who've driven boats for a long, long time. Some have their captain's license. And here's what they tell me, and I've watched them. They say, when I'm asking them, how are you doing this? I focus on my GPS. GPS. And I've watched them drive through these hairy situations. They're just looking at the GPS, looking at the electronics.
We're not talking about the Google Maps or or your iPhone that sometimes works.
Global positioning system.
This is the real deal.
And you have to be locked in to three satellites for this to work. And then I thought about three satellites, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've got to be locked in as we're doing this thing called the relationship. It's the GPS, the God positioning system, you could say.
So not only is it important to know the truth, God's word, which, you know, the Bible talks about paths. It talks about different paths that we can take. And God says that if we study his word, he will illuminate our path. So we've got to know the truth, which is God's word. But we also have to see in others how they're applying truth in their life. We have to apply it for ourselves, and then we have to see how others are applying it.
Yeah,
so truth is a huge sail that if you knock that sail down, drift is going to come.
And truth is true whether we believe it or not. That's like the law of gravity, the law of thermodynamics. I don't have to believe the law of gravity. I'm like, I don't really believe it. I just don't because I got to feel it. Well, if I take a step,
I'm going down.
I'm going to hit the ground. These relational realities, because God's the author of relationships, work. We either have the choice to believe them or not, but we're imploring you to take this and make it a part of you. Number three, the third sale, we'll hit this word over and over again.
Forgiveness.
Uh-oh.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
When Ed and I got married, we had so many pastors officiating. You know, we had uncles who were pastors. We had his father who was a pastor.
They had the black robes on. They looked like the Supreme Court, man.
Definitely, at the end of that ceremony, we were married. No doubt.
There's no doubt, yeah.
But Ed's father officiated the lion's share of the ceremony. And one of the verses that he read to us, and he told us, he said, if you can practice this verse, if you can live this truth out, you will have a successful marriage. I think everybody's like, okay, what is it?
Really?
We need to know. But not only a successful marriage, but successful relationships in general. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In light of the gift of forgiveness that God has given us, I need forgiveness. I mean, I realize I have messed up in grand ways, and I am in need of forgiveness, in need of a Savior, and Jesus, he did it for me. He took my sin, he took my shame, and he forgave me. Wow, what a gift. It's a gift that I receive, but it's a gift that I also have to give, because in light of what Jesus did on the cross, I have to forgive others. Now, don't be fooled, because we are called to forgive, but there are certain relationships where we forgive, but we do not reinstate fellowship.
Yeah, you don't have to like somebody to forgive them.
But
they can be total jerks.
Too often we think, oh, I'm going to move away from this. I'm going to move away from that negative person. I'm going to move away from that manipulator. I'm going to move away from that prideful person. We're going to move away from them geographically, yet we're still bound to them emotionally through lack of forgiveness.
That's the
so
truth.
Forgive just as Christ has forgiven you.
And the Bible says too, we'll study this more in this series. This is a great verse on any relationship, especially if you're dating or marriage. It says, don't let the sun set on your anger. Well, that means, Lisa, and we've had to do this before, we had to stay up
late,
almost sometimes all night.
Past 9 o'clock, go figure. I know.
Because, and you know what too, is this true, guys? I mean, this is kind of convicting, but guys, We forgive easier than women.
I'll say that's a hearty amen.
No one laughed at that. I knew they wouldn't, because guys, we're scared to laugh. But that's a fact. And you know what though, guys?
But this is the thing.
I confess, we forgive too easily, probably. Well, oh no, I'm not sorry. Don't give it. No. We ask for forgiveness. That's what I'm trying to say. I kind of messed it up.
That's true.
Does that make sense?
You know what I'm saying to you? Ed is just really, really good at asking for forgiveness. A lot of time, I mean,
he messed up a lot.
No. I did not mean that. I just meant that he's just one of these guys that has a quick conscience. He can't live with himself if he's done something, an offense against me or someone else. He apologizes quickly.
I've got to say this, Lisa.
I forgive you for interrupting me.
No, I know you do. But listen, how many times we don't know how to ask for forgiveness? And I'm going to talk about this too in this series. So, Lisa, I take full responsibility for my actions. Duh. That's not asking for forgiveness. Here's another one that's stupid. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
If.
Well, your emotional basket case, I guess I didn't mean it. That's not asking. Or I apologize. I mean, that's close. Here's how you say it. This is kind of an aside. I messed up. I screwed up. Will you forgive me? So now, see, will you forgive me? I'm wrong. I'm humbling myself. And that's the deal. That I got totally off subject.
That's
skipping.
Okay, so let's go to the next one. Unselfishness. Another sale is unselfishness.
Unselfishness.
Are the people in your life thinking
unselfish?
About others, or is everything about themselves? I think that's pretty...
I got to tell the story about Landra.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. About unselfishness.
Poor Landra. She's provided so many illustrations over her life.
She's always been a risk taker, very venturesome. And when she was 4, I took her fishing. We were at this little pond, and we were catching perch. Some people call them brim perch, little fish. Well, I didn't realize it, but Landra really wanted to keep a fish. She kept going, "Can I keep this?" I go, "No, put it back." "Can I keep this, Dad?" "No, Landra, put it back." Well, I was involved in tying on another hook. I didn't realize that Landra took a perch, opened my tackle box, put it in there, and closed it. It was only about 100.
All the little worms.
Yeah, all the different, the worms and lures. It was only about 108 degrees. So I had no idea the fish was in there. We finished fishing. We went home, put my tackle box up in the garage, and then, you know, well, after several days, that thing was ripe. I'm talking, it would knock you out. We thought something had died. We didn't know what the deal was. We were getting ready
to take out sheetrock. We thought something was in our walls, and we kept sniffing. We kept sniffing. I mean, because, you know, we're not... that off, but we were sniffing around the garage, but we had our ant killer in the same place where the tackle boxes were, and there's sulfur in ant killer, and so the ant killer stinks, so we couldn't figure the lesser of two stinks, you know, or the greater of two stinks. It was like, what's the smell? Yeah. Finally,
I opened the tackle box.
That dead fish. Maggots and all. Yeah, anyway.
When we're selfish, our self smells like a fish.
Yeah.
And when I'm selfish in our marriage, I smell like a fish. So in a friendship, a dating relationship, watch out for that unselfishness. That's the core of Jesus. Then there's another one, Lisa.
One more. The fifth one. And this one is so huge. Consistency.
Oh, massive.
Again, Ed mentioned the fact that, you know, now after many, many years of relationships and many, many years of living out the principles of God, not perfectly, but with intentionality, we can truly say that when you see someone who lives their life consistently, it doesn't mean that they don't mess up on occasion. It doesn't mean that they don't fall or stumble. It just means that they get back up and they keep going on the direction that God has for them, on the path. So important to have those type of relationships so that God can steer you through the people that are around you to the place He wants you to be.
And those 90% people... 90% people, I'm going to drill down a little bit deeper here. Those 90% people, three questions to ask yourself. Number one, do they cause me to love God more? Number two, do they encourage me to do what's right, to follow God's purpose and plan? Finally, do they dream the right dreams? God's dreams.
Thank you for being with us today on The Creative Connection with Pastors Ed and Lisa Young. We hope this message has encouraged you in your friendships and close relationships. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as we continue our series, Relationship Goals, with Pastors Ed and Lisa. Next time, we dive into a discussion on dating. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through the Creative Connection. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, God bless.